Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the mail division here at Car Talk Plaza. Right. My brother has a new philosophy that we shouldn't prepare anything for the show anymore.
We usually do prepare by saying where we're going to broadcast from, and then we have a little thing.
Right, a little ditty.
Yeah, and we didn't have any ideas for today.
It happens.
But we did have a pile of mail, and I have here in front of me, this is the opening of the show, so I'm going to open a priority mail package. And I have no idea what's in it, and whatever it is, we'll discuss it. There's a letter. Oh, geez. Aromatherapy.
Really?
The Aeron Drive, it's not a letter. What the heck is
that? Oh, I love it already. Look at all this stuff. Little bottles of things and things that take AA batteries. Anything that takes a AA battery
is
all right in my book.
Well, I'll just read it to you. Just plug it in, it says. Place the power of electronic aroma diffusion at your fingertips. Reduces stress and road fatigue. Eliminate cigarette smells and unwanted odors.
Oh, that'll come in handy in your car.
Easily change scents or aroma intensity. And it's got a thing. No, it is not a AA battery. It plugs into your cigarette lighter.
Well, I have been a big advocate of aromatherapy for a long time. Because have you ever been someplace where you smell something?
And you say, boy, that brings me back.
Brings me back.
Well, I don't know how it works.
The time I walked my dog in the dark or something like that. Without a flashlight.
Oh man, alive. I've got it.
Well, next week we'll have to have a full report on these things because these promise to be. I mean, the reduced stress and road fatigue.
Oh, the one that I have here is called Stress Away.
This one, the one I have here is called Tommy Away. All right, baby.
Same thing. But wait a minute. You plug this into what?
Alas, you do not have a cigarette lighter on that.
I do not have a cigarette lighter.
Barbaric vehicle that you own.
No, I don't. No. That's all right. I'll just pour this stuff in my hair.
Oh, boy. If you'd like to call us about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brett from Pullman, Washington. How are you guys doing?
Brett with one T or two?
Two T's.
Two T's. From where, Washington?
Pullman.
Pullman.
Yeah, Pullman.
Like the train guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where it probably came from.
I think so, too.
You know that Pullman, Washington was almost called Boston, Washington?
Yeah. Okay.
I knew you would. What's up, Brett?
Hey, I have a Toyota Camry, and I really like the car. The problem with it is every time I get out of the vehicle, I don't care if I've gone across the parking lot, it shocks me with 2,000 volts of electricity.
You've measured it? You happen to have your Wiggins on you that day?
Yeah, I bet it's more than 2,000. I bet it's 20.
Yeah, probably 20. But anyway, when I get out of the car, it shocks me. And so I've tried different tricks, like grab the inside door handle and throw it real fast and run away. And then the second I touch anything else metal, I don't care if I've walked across the parking lot and grabbed the door or kissed my wife, which is not a good way to do it, I get a nice shock. The worst part is when I have one of those cellular phone earbud things in that you hands-free set.
Oh, you get the shock in your ear.
I got out of the car, touched the door, and it sends 20,000 volts through my brain and out the other side. Lights up my eyes, and I have a headache for half an hour.
Has it always done this, Brett?
It's done it since I've owned it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's your tires.
It's my tires?
Yeah. I mean, we've found this phenomenon occurring in low rolling resistance tires, where they've replaced the carbon black with some silica compound.
I see.
And it doesn't allow the tires to discharge, and the static charge builds up, and then it builds up on you.
Yeah.
And you become like the Van de Graaff generator in the science lab, and you get out and touch something, and you discharge.
Like kissing my wife.
Exactly. That's pretty good, though.
Well, yeah, there's sparks.
How long have you been married?
8 years.
And the sparks are still flying.
Sparks are still flying. I think that's great.
But whatever the cause of it, you can solve the problem by installing a ground strap.
A ground strap?
Yeah.
To your ear.
Does the ground strap, hang down and touch the ground on the...
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, hence the name ground strap. And what it does, it's a piece of actually rubber with a piece of metal embedded, wire embedded in it.
I see.
And this thing is heavy enough so that it will hang down and touch the ground. Unfortunately, it will wear out as you drive. In fact, I can't remember the first time I bought one. I bought it for one of my wife's cars.
How many miles did you get out of it?
Not many. About 10,000. Well, maybe less than that. And yeah. That's why I was surprised when there were 7 to the package. You kind of knew.
And
but
creeper.
If you put it in a place where you can easily change it,
yeah,
make sure it touches a good substantial metal piece on the underside of the car, not the gas tank.
Yeah, try to avoid the gas tank.
Right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Brett. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Howdy, guys.
Howdy. Who's this?
My name is Alexandria Heather. I'm calling from Keene, New Hampshire.
You have two first names.
Oh, yeah. You're
Alexandria Heather.
No, is Heather your last name or is it part of your first name?
Heather is my last name.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
And you're from where?
Keene, New Hampshire.
Keene, New Hampshire. Yes. That's pretty keen.
Oh, I'm sure that's the first time she's ever heard that.
Yeah,
she would have been disappointed had I not said it.
That's true.
Sophomoric though it may be. People count on me for that stuff.
And they get it every week. So, Alexandria, what's up?
Well, I have a question about our 1987 Ford Escort wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And my boyfriend got it free from his grandparents. It was a gift to him. And we've had to sink a lot of money into it in the last year.
Mm, interesting gift,
and
isn't it?
And so he really wants to get a Subaru. And we've come across this really strange sound in the front part of the car.
Oh, of the Escort.
Of the Escort, right. And I think it's the right-hand wheel. It sounds like a spray paint can when you shake it. You know, like
cluck,
that.
Cluck, 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 cluck.
Oh, with the little ball.
The little ball
right.
That bounces around inside.
Right. And it stops at about 30 or 40 miles an hour. But we didn't know if that would mean that we have to, you know, put more money into it. Maybe we should just get a different car, and we're not really sure what's wrong with it.
Well, I think you should probably get a different car, but it has nothing to do with the noise. No, I think the noise, so you're going to be disappointed because you're going to have to keep this car when I tell you how to get rid of the noise.
Mm.
I think the noise is a pebble inside the wheel cover.
What?
What?
Really?
There isn't much from a mechanical standpoint that would make that kind of noise.
Hmm.
So that it's like a tinkle-tinkle noise.
No, it's like...
I've used spray cans of paint before.
Well, that's right. That time, that weekend, we did your dart.
Oh, yeah, that was it. We used about 10 cans that day.
Yeah.
All different colors.
Yeah, the kids had a lot of fun, didn't they?
The kids had a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, so it isn't something mechanical.
And I told you we should have used the masking tape.
I wondered what that was for.
But why does it stop after such a slow speed? I mean, if it's like a little pebble, it would be going at higher speeds.
Well, I'm sure my brother has a theory on this, and I can help him if he doesn't.
No, when you get going fast enough, centrifugal force will pin the pebble.
Exactly.
We used to play that as a schoolyard game. You would pin the pebble to the whatever it's up against.
Sure.
And would keep it from making the noise
sure,
again.
Because
and
what makes the noise is...
It's like being on a merry-go-round.
Not a merry-go-round, that thing.
The Turkish twist.
The Turkish twist.
Right.
Exactly.
The Barforama.
Because what's making the noise is as you go slowly, the little pebble is being thrown outward by centrifugal force, and then it drops down by force of gravity. And you hear it going bloop, bloop, bloop as it goes around and around, being thrown toward the front of the wheel and then dropping down by gravity. But when you go 60 miles an hour, the centrifugal force overcomes the force of gravity. How's this?
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was contemplating the thumbnail on my...
No, I was bailing you out on the centrifugal force theory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it overcomes the force of gravity, and gravity is not sufficient to pull it down because centrifugal force is pushing it forward.
Yeah, what he said.
So if you take off the wheel cover,
the hubcap,
you know, the little plastic hubcap.
Yeah.
Little pebble will pop out.
In fact, you may not even see it.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. You may not even see it, right? In which case, we would be proven right again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I guarantee you that that's it.
You guarantee me
I guarantee it. Yeah. This is 100% guarantee
you have the,
also.
Do you have the car close by right now? Where's the car?
The car is somewhere else.
Somewhere
not
else.
My apartment.
At your boyfriend's house? Call him up. Call him up. Tell him to run out there, take off that wheel cover, and if a little pebble falls out, call us back.
Now, you think it's the right front wheel, but it, of course, could be any of the other wheels.
Right. You know, so if you don't find it in the right front wheel, look on the car next to it. Maybe on the right front wheel of that car. No, seriously.
All right.
If he's around, ask him to go take off the wheel cover, because we'd love to know.
Call us back. We're dying to know if we're right.
Yeah.
We're dying to know anytime we're right.
Thank you, Alexandria Heather from Keene, New Hampshire. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Spencer from Miami.
Spencer?
Spencer.
Yes.
Is that with an S like the writer or with a C?
S.
Spencer.
S-E-N-C-E-R.
Oh. C.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we got it.
Where are you from?
From Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Yeah, I have an 87 Accord, and I needed new tires, so I got the tires and got them all balanced and everything. And, just on a whim, one day after I'd finished driving, I touched the lug nuts, and they were too hot to touch. And I was wondering if this is normal or, if it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Well, the more important question is, what prompted you, after all these years of driving, to touch your lug nuts?
Well, that's even more strange.
Isn't it?
I've never thought about that in my life. You drive along and you do all these things. I've changed tires and everything like that. But
you were driving along. Let me get this right. You pulled over and said,
I think I'll touch the lug nuts.
I think I'm going to touch the lug nuts, yeah.
Well, actually, I'd come home, and I just said, let me touch the lug nuts.
Hey, don't question it. If God told Spencer that he should touch the lug nuts, then there must be a reason for it.
There must be.
There must be. Yeah. And you touched the lug nuts on how many wheels?
Just the front wheels, the left and right.
And they were
left
both
and right.
Very hot.
Very hot.
And equally hot.
Equally hot.
That's good. That's what they should be.
They should be.
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't be too hot to touch.
Oh, yeah.
They should be warm.
No, if you've been driving the car and using the brakes.
Uh-huh.
How long had you been driving?
Oh, that day? That'd probably been about half an hour.
Don't forget, in Florida, even without using the brakes at all, the lug nuts are going to be 100 degrees anyway. Right. You're starting off at 100.
Just parked.
Well, this week it's been that like that, right? In the high 90s.
Right, and if you're parked in the sun, they're going to be even hotter. So they're already hot enough to burn you.
Uh-huh.
Even without driving the car. So it doesn't take very much braking to get the temperature of those things way up over 200 degrees where they would feel very, very hot.
They were very, very hot.
That's good.
That means
you have front brakes and they're working.
Well, I mean, if you have been driving for half an hour, like on the highway, and only stepped on the brakes one or two times, I don't think the lug nuts should be hot. What makes the lug nuts hot is the friction between the brake pads and the rotors, and if you had done a lot of braking, I would think that the lug nuts would be very, very hot. But if you hadn't, it might mean that the pads are jammed up against the rotors because the calipers are frozen.
Unlikely.
It's worth looking at.
Did any of your neighbors see you touching your lug nuts?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I think I'm safe like that.
Yeah. Right. It wouldn't hurt if you drop by the mechanic to ask him to just take a
peek. No, they'll charge you money. If they're both the same temperature, first of all, you weren't having any problems. I mean, there was no obvious reason in your mind why you should go and investigate the temperature of the lug nuts.
Did you read the Philistine prophecies?
It was just that, I got new tires.
You got new tires, and you just wanted to make sure that the lug nuts were still on.
Right.
And while you were there, you decided to touch them
right, to
make sure that they were still on and hot.
Right.
And that the guys hadn't messed up and forgotten to tighten them up.
Something
right.
Like that.
Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. I know exactly the feeling. I have that every time.
Every time you get in my car, right. Check everything.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong. And the fact that they were equally hot tells me that everything is fine. Well, the likelihood that both calipers are seized.
I will admit that does suggest that there isn't anything wrong. The fact that they were both wheels with the same temperature does suggest there's nothing wrong. On the other hand, I have touched lug nuts. I'll admit it on radio. I'll stand right here and say, I have touched lug nuts also, and they are not boiling hot when I touch them.
Were people watching you?
I have done it when people were watching me as well, yes.
Okay.
And they were not boiling hot unless something was wrong. So if it were I would have someone look at it. If it was my brother, he obviously
would. All right,
would.
Can I go on redirect? I'll ask you my brother. Have you ever lived in Florida?
No.
Okay, I rest my case. See you, Spencer.
Thanks for calling, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, this is normally the time, Tommy, where I ask you, if you remember last week's puzzle, you say no, of course not, and I give you a bunch of fill-in-the-blank hints. Remember that? And you still don't get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this week, we're going to skip all that.
We are?
Yeah, you know why, don't you?
No.
Really? You don't remember?
No.
All right, I'll give you a fill-in-the-blank hint.
All right, go ahead.
Imagine this.
Yeah.
You get up at 10. You make some cappuccino. You read the paper. Go out for a stroll. Fall asleep at a park bench. You talk to the other bums. You go for another coffee. Come home, eat dinner, watch TV, and fall asleep. This describes your what?
Typical work day.
No,
I would say it's my typical day. Have you been following me around?
I was looking for vacation.
Oh!
The puzzler is on summer vacation, so we have no puzzler answer.
Ah, but I do have some interesting news about psychology.
Oh, yeah?
It's coming up in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Okay.
And even though public radio station managers put on Groucho glasses and sneak down the fire escape whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Good question.
That's a really good question.
It's a great question.
This is free therapy.
Thank you for asking me that.
God, that's such a good question.
That's an interesting question.
But what Fresh Air interviews are really about are the interesting answers. Listen and subscribe to Fresh Air from WHYY and NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the psychology.
Oh, I'm not going to... It's not really about psychology.
Oh, you lied.
I did lie. Let me just ask you a question. Do you eat Oreo cookies?
Not often.
Not often. When you do, how do you eat them? Pick from one of the following.
Do you eat
the whole thing at once, just throw it in your mouth? Or do you eat one bite at a time? Or do you take very slow, methodical nibbles?
Is there a D?
Do you dunk it in milk or coffee?
Yeah. D.
Do you twist it apart?
D.
D. You dunk it in milk or coffee?
Yeah, coffee usually.
Well,
what does that say about me?
I'm going to tell you right now. I think we should do this with a few other people. But here's what it says about you. Psychologists have discovered that the way that people eat Oreo cookies provides great insight into their personalities.
So can I just go on record right now and say, bogus, but go ahead, continue.
Well, let's see how good it is. Let's see if it's you. You dunk.
I dunk.
Everyone likes you because you are always upbeat. You like to sugarcoat.
Beat up.
You like to sugarcoat unpleasant experiences and rationalize bad situations into good ones. You are in total denial about the shambles that you call life. And you have a propensity towards narcotic addiction.
Well, the second part is true, but I don't sugarcoat anything.
All right. Berman, how do you eat? How do you eat?
You twist them. A half twist? Yeah, Dougie takes it, twists them apart, eats the bottom half with the frosting on it, and then eats the second half.
The other half.
Piece.
He said that way he gets two cookies out of it.
Right.
Cheapskate. Twist it apart. Here's what it says about you. You take pleasure in breaking things apart to find out how they work, though not always able to put them back together, so you destroy all the evidence of your activities. You deny your involvement when things go wrong. You are a compulsive liar, and you exhibit deviant, if not criminal, behavior. The guy's wanted in three states!
Now that should be me, actually.
All right, I'm gonna do myself. I have not read these yet.
Okay. What do you do?
I'm trying to figure out. Do I eat the whole thing all at once? The whole thing?
Is it the whole bag?
No. Throw the whole cookie in your mouth? No,
that'll
nobody
come
does bags. That.
They come in those little cellophane things. You know what? I used to eat the whole bag of Chips Ahoy.
Really?
You make a pot of good coffee, and you can eat a whole bag of Chips Ahoy.
I eat a whole bag of everything that I open.
Of Chips Ahoy and a pot of coffee. You don't sleep for a week.
Let's see. I would say that I just eat it one bite at a time, just plain old one bite at a time. I bite it, I chew it, and I eat it. That's like, number
like
two.
Like you would eat any other cookie.
One bite at a time. You are lucky to be one of the 5.4 billion other people who eat their Oreos this very same way. Just like them, you lack imagination, but that's okay. Don't worry, you're normal. I've been trying to tell my wife.
I've been trying to tell my wife
all these years that I'm the only normal person of everyone she knows. You know, she used to call me the wacko one in the family. Then she met you. And she said, you know, you're not the wackiest one. Your brother is Gonzo. She met Lucille.
these are right, except they're all mixed up.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm the one who breaks things. I do it every day. Well, look, if you're already pining for the Puzzler, stay tuned, because we'll have important news in the third half about where you can find one. Close to home, in fact. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at our unlisted number, which is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, it's Chris. I'm calling from right across the water in Boston. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. What's happening, man?
What's up?
My car seems to have seasonal allergies.
Ah.
Yeah, when we had a couple of months ago the wild fluctuations in temperature, and then a couple weeks ago when we had the torrential rains.
Yeah.
Seems like the day after the car, hours after the temperature has changed, it won't start. I get a click and a click and a click and a click, and then it's each time I turn the key, and then eventually it'll kind of cough and sputter, and then it'll click again. And sometimes it takes 5 cranks, sometimes it takes 30 cranks.
Right, and it's a Toyota, right?
No, actually, it's not. It's a 93 Dodge Dynasty.
Dodge Dynasty.
Really?
Dynasty is exactly right.
So let me get this right. This doesn't happen when the weather is fine?
If the weather's consistent, like all winter long, it started up like a charm.
Yeah.
And then if the weather's consistently warm, like it has been the couple of days, starts up just fine. But if there's any kind of, like, I'm worried it's supposed to get kind of cold and then kind of warm and kind of cold again over the next couple of days, you know, overnight, that it may happen again.
And automatic transmission.
You do hear a click.
Yes, it's an audible click, and then sometimes it's kind of a cough and sputter.
A click and a cough and sputter.
Well, it can't cough and sputter unless it cranks.
It's just kind of a, it's like it's trying to turn over, but it's just not making it over that hill.
Mm.
And when it does that, does it go, or does it go?
It just kind of goes and just stops. Maybe there's no sputter. Maybe it's just a cough.
Maybe it's a fart.
I knew this was going to degenerate very quickly.
It could very well be a fart. It was my father's car. So.
All right, it's a cough without a sputter or vice versa.
Gee, yeah. You know, I mean, I have a. My original feeling was that your starter was gone. And that's why I thought you might have a Toyota, because Toyotas are famous for this. Except the cough and the sputter adds a new dimension to it, which tells me that obviously it isn't a Toyota. You told us that already. and the fact that it's cranking a little bit, which caused a little bit of turnover and then a backfire through the intake manifold, tells me that I'm going to take a bold step and suggest it's the battery.
You think?
I mean, we both said it simultaneously.
We said it simultaneously, and it's got to be right. I mean, that never happens. We haven't agreed with each other in 1971.
Yeah,
I'm glad I bridged that gap.
I think it's the battery, too.
I mean, if you're lucky, it could be a bad connection at the battery. You know where those two cables connect to the battery? If either one of them is corroded, it'll do exactly the same thing. It may crank and then do nothing. And then if you keep trying it, or instead if you hold the key to the crank position for several seconds, it may just fire right up.
Okay, yeah, I'm scared to do that. I don't want to blow anything
up.
You won't
blow anything up.
Well, you might blow
something up. You might set the car on fire, but you won't blow anything up.
There'll be no explosion.
That qualifies as blowing things up to me. So.
I mean, whether it's a bad connection, I played with the bad connection for a while myself, and I think it still may be a bad connection. The difference is that we don't know exactly what it sounds like when it actually does the cough slash and slash or sputter.
Right.
But in your vast experience driving cars, would you say that when it finally does start, is that preceded by it cranking slowly or cranking at the usual speed?
It seems like it'll just catch, like it'll just fire right up.
And it just fires right up.
Then
I'd have to go with a bad connection then.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'd stick with the battery myself.
And the weather would affect that?
The weather wouldn't affect any of it.
No, it might.
No. Okay.
Warm weather would tend to make it easier to start the car.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the weather thing is a complete red herring as far as I'm concerned, and you just threw that in to make us crazy, and we don't hold it against you.
Good luck.
Because we're crazy anyway.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Chris.
All right, bye.
Hey, I have an interesting letter, actually. May I read it to you?
Well,
you know, people often...
You must.
People often call us or write to us and say, boy, how can you guys figure out what's wrong with cars by someone talking to you on the phone?
We usually can't, actually.
And the truth is, we usually can't.
Right.
But get this.
Occasionally, we luck out.
Get this. Ed O'Neill sends us an email. Dear Click and Clack, I frequently travel to Albany, New York on business. On one of my recent trips, I was listening to a local radio station. One of the guests, and I think his name was John McLaughlin, demonstrated an amazing ability that I think will be of interest to both you and your listeners. This man has the ability to, get this, to identify the make, model, and year of any automobile by hearing the sound of the horn.
Sure.
Listeners of the program were invited to call in, honk the horn over the phone, and this guy would tell them the make, model, year, and sometimes the color. And sometimes the color of their car. Out of a dozen or so callers, he identified the make and model on every single one and missed a year only twice. And even then, he was within 2 years of being correct.
Wow.
Now,
I never knew that horns had such a signature, so to speak.
I mean, at one time, was able to, I think, I could have identified most cars by the sound of the starter.
Yes.
But the horn?
Junk boxes that you own to crank for 20 seconds.
The horn?
The horn. Well, some people have better ears than others.
Wow.
Wow.
I suppose if the guy had, impossible.
Well, we have to see if we can get
If anyone knows who this guy really is.
We need his help.
And I especially like how we could tell the color.
The color. I'm most interested in that.
I am too.
Now, I want everyone to realize that my brother does very little between naps, so he's always happy to read some mail. And if you have anything interesting, even if it isn't that interesting, he'll find it interesting.
I will.
Just stamp it and send it to him. And the address is Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Attention, Tommy. Or if the stamp machine is not convenient to your cubicle, you can obviously email us from cartalk.com. And if you want to talk to us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's, 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a K, Catherine.
You're right.
Wow, that was right on the borderline.
Nordic ancestry.
Well, that's good, Tommy. You're good. You're good.
St. Paul.
Yep.
Do you know my friend Les Block?
Oh, God. Anyway, Catherine, how can we help you today?
Okay, I hate my car.
Okay.
It's a 91 Plymouth Acclaim.
Sorry, I hate my brother, but I'm sticking with him.
Well, I just got a new job, and after years of being a grad student, I was really looking forward to getting a new car, but now I don't know if it's such a good idea. And here's why.
Yeah.
On my second day of work a couple of weeks ago, I was pulling into the parking lot when I noticed that the car ahead of me wasn't moving, so I stepped on the brakes, but no brakes. I slam into the other car, I jump out, and I'm thinking, gee, that guy looks familiar. And then I realized why.
He's your
president.
Boss.
Well, no, he's my boss.
Oh, even worse, the president of the company.
Yeah.
All right.
Do I get a new car or not? Because if I'm axed, I won't be able to make the payments. But if I have a new car, maybe he won't recognize me.
Oh, no. I think if you buy a new car, you're going to tick him off.
How did he take it?
Well, he said...
in the behind.
He said his car was fine, but it's not. It has big black scratches on the back. So my other option is breaking into the underground executive parking lot and trying to buff.
So you put big scratches on the back of his car. What kind of a car was he driving?
I didn't take the time to notice. It's big, shiny, new silver, and apparently he drove the same little rusty hatchback all through his vice presidency, and so finally now that he's president, he bought a big, new, expensive car.
I would guess
how old a guy did he look to be, like in his 50s?
Oh, 40s.
Yeah, so he's driving a 740 IL.
I would guess.
Yeah, that's what I guess.
Yeah, black, it's the only color they come in.
Silver.
Silver? It's the only other color they come in. So you're thinking of sneaking into the executive parking lot with a 100-foot extension cord and a lamb's wool buffer.
Yeah. Is that what I use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw, if it's the right color, I just saw on late night TV, just last night, as a matter of fact, there I was awake at 2 a.m., and I see an ad for $19.95, this stuff.
Oh, scratch remover.
That guaranteed, they were showing it. They take a key and they run it down the side of this $1 million car.
Rubber key.
And you see this horrible scratch, and then they take out this magic stuff. I know who it was. It was turtle wax. It only comes, however, in 7 colors.
Does it come in silver?
Yes.
All right, well.
It comes out of silver.
It's worth a try.
It's worth a try.
No, I think this is a surefire way to get,
to get
terminated. Here's what I would
do.
I would wait for the dust to settle a little bit. How long ago did this happen?
Just a couple weeks ago.
Was
it dark?
No, it was light.
You sure he recognized
you? Oh, yeah.
Though?
Well, see, then I saw him in the hall later, and he said, oh, hi.
Hi.
Did you clean out your desk yet? Well, here's what I would do.
Did you deliver those pizzas yet? I hope you're out of here in 5 minutes.
It's a goodwill gesture. There are guys, or women, I suppose, who detail cars, on a remote basis. They have a little truck where they have all this stuff.
I could give him a detailing gift certificate.
There you go. And they can even come to the executive. So he doesn't even have to be inconvenienced. They can come while he's at work.
My brother finally had a good idea.
They can buff out the scratches. They can clean the carpets. They can do all that stuff. Spiff up the car. Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity to really make points with this guy.
Oh, yeah. You might get a promotion.
You will get a promotion.
You might get out of the basement.
I mean, I can see a little note that says you really took it like a man, and I'm really I'm happy. But nonetheless, I feel this terrible guilt, and please accept this small $250.
Oh, yeah, make sure he knows how much it costs. But whatever it costs, Catherine,
gift.
Do it. And I think you should tell him that you're going to do it. I don't think you should do it by surprising him.
Oh, I should tell him ahead of time?
Yeah, I say, look, I'd like to have your car detailed. I have a guy who's worked extensively.
No, no,
on my 91 Acclaim.
Yeah, so I know he really knows what he's doing.
Right. He'd love to work on your 7 Series BMW. He's never worked on one before, and he'd like to try to buff out a few little scratches, which I don't think I put in your car, but might have been there before I hit you. But nonetheless, I think in order to ameliorate the situation,
and then I could get my new car too.
That, yeah, and if he says, don't bother, you're fired, then you know not to get the car. Good luck, and call us when you're delivering pizzas.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, jeez. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break and give our stations a chance to make a few important announcements.
You mean like what's playing on the other stations?
Yeah, where to find the nearest emergency earplug depot, you know, stuff like that.
We'll be back with more of your car questions in just a minute.
I live to see the white lines on the middle of the road. You have mercy on me, people, I love to go. There are people flying all over the world, but me, I'd rather drive. I got my arm stuck out the window, man alive. Traveling, burning up the road, motivating down the thoroughfare. Traveling, strictly on the go, 90 miles an hour, I'm not scared. I'm keeping Mr. Goodwrench in business. That mechanic, he holds me dear. He's got enough of my money to retire in Jamaica this year. I spent all my money on gasoline and the rest on this old guitar. I have settled for a cheap wax job on my car.
And even though Fyodor Dostoevsky wishes he had called it the Cousins Karamazov whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler.
You're in the used puzzler business now.
Yes, I was, both of you longtime listeners know, Mom and Dad, every summer the puzzler goes on a well-deserved vacation. Oh. This is a chance to get refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated, and, you know, the whole bit.
And
suntanned.
A little bit less lousy.
Yeah. Right. But we know that some of you just can't go a week without a Car Talk puzzler. So for you, we've invented
institutionalization.
No.
We're going to lock you up for the next 8 weeks. How many weeks off does the puzzler get? Like 8 weeks?
We don't really know.
We don't know. Just
no. When it comes back, it comes back. It just kind of shows up.
Just shows up. Yeah.
And no, for those of you that really need a puzzle, we have our classic puzzle archive. Every week that the puzzle is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work and you need a puzzle, and you just have to have one, just head to cartalk.com. Now, if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is Doug from New York.
How you doing, Doug?
Okay, good. I got a 94 Land Cruiser.
Good.
Okay, on top of the rocker arm assembly, the valve covers, there's a plate. Mm-hmm. There are two screws on each end of that plate. They're aluminum. And I tried to take one off the other day because I do the work on my car myself, and the head started to strip.
Yeah.
So I got a bigger Phillips screwdriver, and that started to strip. And I figured, before I do anything, let me call Car Talk and see what's going on. How can you guys give me some suggestions?
Let's see. Do you have duct tape?
Do I have duct tape?
Can you get duct tape?
I get duct tape.
Well, it may be too late now.
Yeah, that's always the problem if you go too far. But it maybe isn't.
Okay.
There is a very clever tool called an impact screwdriver.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a very hefty screwdriver that has a mechanism inside that allows you to change a hammer blow into rotation of the blade.
Okay.
So you get the thing, you put this thing on the screw just as if you were going to unscrew it.
Right.
But instead of turning the handle, you hold it and you whack the end with a hammer. And it imparts a very sharp impulse, which, as you know, multiplies the force many times.
Right.
And will sometimes crack loose that screw or strip the head right off.
The head right off. Exactly.
So it would just do faster what it took you a half an hour to do. Do it in seconds.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even less than a second.
I tried that with a distributor one time. I cracked my whole distributor.
Well, yeah, you have to be a little judicious with the blow. And it does take a lot of experience to know how hard to hit something.
Right.
And also penetrating oil helps considerably.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What's wrong is that screw is a steel screw screwed into aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have that situation, if the screw is not coated,
right,
then you always get that peculiar corrosion that prevents the removal of it.
Right, it kind of locks in there.
Right, at this point, now that you've destroyed, you can try one of these impact drivers.
Okay.
And that may work, even though the Phillips-ness of it is all screwed up.
Yeah, right.
But you should try penetrating oil, try the impact driver, and if neither one of those things work, then you have to drill the thing out.
Yeah. Try them both together. Put the penetrating oil in there first. Let it sit there for 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then put the impact screwdriver on it. Give it a good whack and pray.
Good. All right, we'll give it a shot, guys.
Good luck, Doug.
Good luck, Dougie.
Call us next week, and we'll tell you what drill bits to buy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
See you later.
I love your show, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elisa calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi. Elisa. Is that with one S or two?
That's with one S.
A-L-Y-S-A?
E-L-I-S-A.
Elisa.
Elisa.
Like für Elisa.
That's
für Elisa.
You know, Elisa is my mother's name?
Well, she must be a wonderful woman.
No, she's not. She is the finest woman. The finest.
That money can buy.
Does she spell it the same way?
Well, we don't know how she spelled it. This is... we have relatives that have more than one first name. And now they have documents.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well. And should I tell the story about Vinny? I mean, about Jimmy.
You might as well. I mean, I don't think you should have told it.
I'll leave out any incriminating stuff. But when I was a little kid, we had a family friend whose name was Vincent O. I mean, I won't give his last name because he might have relatives now who still carry guns. But his name was Vincent O. And everyone called him Jimmy. And, I mean, I remember dozens of times saying to my dear mother, but I didn't know that Jimmy was a nickname for Vincent.
Yeah, why don't they call him?
Why don't they call him Vinny?
And you'd receive, I remember asking the same question myself, a pat on the head.
And
a boot in the butt.
Anyway, I mean, this went on, and pretty soon, you know, I forgot. I just assumed that, okay, Jimmy is a nickname for Vinny. And a couple of years ago, when my mother had a half a glass of wine and was floating around, I happened to bring this up because it's been bothering me for 50 years. And I got the real story.
All the sordid details.
All the sordid details. Well, the reason that Vinny is called Jimmy is because Vincent O was not his real name.
Jimmy V.
His real name was Jimmy V. And Jimmy V had come to Boston
in a flight to avoid prosecution. He was caught in Washington, D.C. in the subway trying to eat a donut.
Trying to eat a donut. And he was trying to elude capture. But Vincent O was really Jimmy V, and it was, in fact, in hiding. It was not a criminal activity, I must say. It was actually an interesting story, which I can tell someday. When all the characters are
dead.
Dead. Is someone on the line? Elisa!
Yeah,
Elisa! In any event, my mother claims that her name is Elisa, but it's not.
What is it?
Elizabeth.
Well, my name is really Elisa.
Okay, well, she claims it's Elisa, but we've never seen a birth certificate. I don't think she has one.
Jimmy V.
Jimmy V.
Wow.
Anyway... From Charleston, South Carolina, what's your question, Elisa, now that we've bored you with all this unnecessary storytelling?
Well, I'm not bored. Well, actually, my question is part automotive and part relationship.
Yeah, that's the perfect kind.
Well, I know that you two are not only experienced in the automotive field, but
quite
the matrimonial geniuses.
Well, I won't claim any matrimonial geniuses. I've only had one matrimonial, but I'll defer to my brother in the matrimonial department. He's had multiple exposures. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I have been living with a man for a while now. We are in a committed relationship, although we are not married.
Yeah. We call that what? Living in sin.
Living in sin.
Okay. Just want to set the record straight.
Okay. But this is a committed, I like that term, a committed relationship.
Yes.
When you say committed. Quite some time, are we talking more than 2 years?
Well, we've been together for more than 2 years. We've been living together about a year and a half now.
Okay.
So, the problem is,
but you share no matrimonial vows, my child.
That's right, and my parents want us to get married.
We're ministers, by the way.
We can do this on the air.
They want us to get married badly enough that they've offered to buy us a new car if we do it.
Oh, really?
Sure. Do you think that I should do it? That's why I'm calling you, for advice.
Gee, do we think you should hold up your parents?
Wait a minute,
are they doing it because they're embarrassed to tell their friends and neighbors?
Of course.
They are.
No, I think that, maybe a little bit of that there, from the old school, but I think they just want me to be happy.
But what if they had never made you this offer? Would you and Mr. Wright have, in fact, gotten married, or are you perfectly happy to continue in this, quote, committed relationship?
Well, we probably would have eventually gotten married, but my car's really been acting up a lot lately.
So you don't want your parents to know that we were going to do this anyway, Mom, but as long as you want to come across with a new car, fine.
Well, that's why I'm calling you. I don't know. Is that what I should do?
You want to know if this is ethical.
I mean, this is deception. This is deception pure and simple.
Well, no, I don't think they're deceived. I mean, they don't think that my car's in perfect order. They know that it's not.
They know that you need a car, and they're trying to incentivize.
Yeah, incentivize. That's good.
You.
How old are you now, Elisa?
I'm in my early 30s.
Oh, yeah, take the car, yeah.
I mean, how has your relationship been with your parents all these years?
Oh, my parents have been wonderful to me. They've always been very loving, giving people.
Loving, giving people. But
and they live in Michigan.
Are they loving? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's the best part.
What you have to worry about is other people controlling your life. And if you allow other people to control your life, even from a distance, then how different is that from any other kind of criminal activity?
Have they bribed you at any other time in the past?
Well, obviously they have. She said they're very giving people. And it sounds to me like they're giving to control you.
Ooh,
time to let go here.
My therapist has never mentioned that.
No, well, you haven't been going to a good therapist then, have you?
I hope he's not listening right now.
I mean, these parents are obviously trying to control your life forever.
Well, no, I think they like to see a little bit more security in my future, I believe. And
how about this one?
Would be that security.
All right, Elisa, it's 2 years down the road, and they say, Elisa, it's very nice that you're driving around in your nice new car, and I hope everything's fine, but isn't it time that you and Mr. Wright had some kids?
And moved to Michigan?
And you say, well, what's it worth to you, Mom? Dad?
Are you saying I'm opening a can of worms?
You ain't just kidding. A can of worms?
On the other hand, you may be lining yourself up for a lifetime supply of cars.
I mean, if you're willing to be controlled and manipulated in this way, then for a lousy car, fine.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm being manipulated because, like I said, we'll probably end up getting married eventually anyway.
Oh, but
I know, but we'll probably end off of ultimately eventually getting married anyway. It's not the same as you'll get married on June 7th when we hand you the title.
Elisa, this is quite an interesting question. So does he know of this deal with the car?
Yes, my mother approached him with it separately.
Oh, she approached him
She told him, and then she told me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
I understand now.
What a tangled web we weave.
I understand it all now. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Have you been married before,
no.
Elisa? Wow.
And this is my first living in sin adventure as
this
well.
Is your first living
it
in
is,
sin.
Huh?
So this is
yeah,
a real,
I don't
this
think
is a very real
it is
thing.
Fun though, isn't it?
I don't think they're so much worried about your living in sin as the prospect of you're not getting married.
They don't want me to be an old maid.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they're afraid that this guy might escape.
They're afraid that he may hang around for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then fly the coop, at which point you'll be too old and nobody will want you. And you'll have to move in. You'll have to move in. You'll have to move in with them.
And you'll be able to get there because you'll have a brand new car. So they basically are trying to put the ring through this guy's nose from Michigan.
Well, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Well, do you
influencing a little bit, I think.
I mean, do you think that they're really trying to control you or him?
Well, then you're just telling me that I shouldn't get married at all.
I think you should dump him.
I think you should get married if you feel like getting married.
Right.
And Mr. Wright wants to get married, too. But, jeez, to be bribed?
Well, no, I didn't really think of it as a bribe. I thought of it
you
more
didn't
as an
think
incentive.
Of it as a bribe?
But it isn't a bribe for her. It's he's the one being bribed.
Yeah, it's
well,
clear
no,
to me now.
More important,
he has a car.
Well, I know, but more important than anything, he's going to want to marry you for you.
That's what he says.
And not the car.
That's what he says.
Unless it's a Q45. But if he doesn't love you enough to marry you without any incentives, then you don't want him.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And tell your parents that they should stay out of it.
Any chance that we could talk to Mr. Wright one of these days?
Yeah, I guess so, if you'd like to.
I mean, I'd like to know how he feels about this.
Well, he doesn't know that I called you.
Well, can he call us next week, maybe?
I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Hey, well, let's get serious. Do you love this guy?
Yes.
Cool.
Very much.
Then that's it. And I presume he loves you, too.
We don't know that.
And the 300ZX had nothing to do with it. We'll find out. Tune in next week. What's his name?
Tracy.
For at least an episode of Elisa and Tracy.
Tell him to call us next week.
I will.
We'll talk.
All right, thank you.
We'll chat. We may have to talk to your parents, too.
Uh-oh.
But that'll be the week after. See you later, Elisa.
See you, Elisa. Aren't you happy you called us, huh?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Watkins Glen, Cornish Hen, Speckled Wren, Beef Cayenne, Pork Julienne, Petite Madeleine, Hungry Men, Lunch at 10, Then Eat Again, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ethics director is Maura Lee Flexible. Our employee morale boosters are Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Yes, our guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the professors in sandals and black socks in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
Don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though shipwrecked sailors opt to wait for their rescue without a radio when they hear us say it, this is NPR.